Welcome to the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
Nathan with Legendary Productions.
And we are happy to have you guys listening today. We actually were not quite ready to start the podcast. We were having in mid-discussion right now. And John, our sound guy, heard what we were discussing about and said, well, we should be recording this. Because we were like in a minor spat. Minor spats between podcasters. This is, you know, makes for podcast gold, I get, or John wanted everyone to hear it, the topic of this discussion. So
I'm not sure it was really a spat. You just are a whack job.
So
basically, I got a few calls from our last few podcasts about my split personalities.
You didn't get any calls.
Oh, I did. I literally got a call. The first thing they said to me is, what the heck? That was one call. What the heck? I was like, what? Hello? I was a bill collector. Like, it's been 8 years.
I was a bill collector.
Like, what the heck? It's been 8 years, man. I was like, hey, what's up? Like, what's up with Mike? Is he on drugs? Let me ask that. From all your personas, your voices, your female impersonations. You guys already know this. What's funny about this in the podcast, there's no camera. It's just mics. We're on microphones. Michael gets up, walks out of the room to go get this imaginary girl, and then he saunters back in and sits down. He's like, hi, I'm Amanda, like horribly. And John and I try not to laugh. I'm embarrassed because we're talking about a serious topic, actually. But anyway, so that's all we were really talking about.
What were we talking about?
What?
What were we talking about?
About people being keyboard pirates or whatever. And not getting cast
right.
And you were bringing this character in, multiple characters, in one of my cast members, and everyone, I got so many calls. Who's this person? Wait, who's Amanda? Wait, Nathan, who was that? I don't know. Call Michael Tennant and ask him.
So are you telling me that people that play characters all their lives were calling in upset because I was playing a character, and I'm the whack job?
I think it was the quality of what you were doing. I think
with the quality.
I mean, you were really good, but
I could tell. Amanda's voice was, hey, Nathan, look at me.
Oh, God,
look over at me, Nathan.
I can't make eye contact with you
right
now.
Nathan. You're turned on now, aren't you, Nathan?
For the love of God, what are we talking about today?
More phone calls.
No.
I just ensured that you're going to get more phone calls. I'm glad you get phone calls. Nobody calls you otherwise.
That's true. Even my kids just text me. It's okay. Anyway, what are we talking about today?
All right, well, today,
that was a waste of 4 minutes.
It was a waste of 4 minutes, but it was listen
to the first 4 minutes on fast forward. Like,
well,
on speedies.
We will look back on this one day. We'll like in a few years we'll have forgotten about this and be like, and then we'll remember all these phone calls that you probably didn't get.
That's true. I'll always remember Amanda.
I'll always remember Amanda and Stefan. You wasted my time.
That's true. I forgot Stefan.
Waste my time in rehearsal.
What are we covering?
So we did. You did.
Steel, oh, that's right.
Steel Magnolias. Now, ever since I messed that up on the first podcast, it's always Steel Mongolians.
Yeah, and I can't believe you said that.
Well, I thought
pretty
you said
solid
it.
Though. They're really strong.
I thought you said it, and that's what I heard.
Steel Mongolians.
Steel Mongolians.
Anytime I hear that, I think of Mongolian barbecue. Those bomb. Have you guys ever been to a boiling pot? It's kind of like a Mongolian barbecue, but not really. You get this like broth and you boil it and then you stick your meat in it or veggies and carrots and seasonings. And then you just like cook it that way and you make kind of like your own ramen. It's so bomb. I went to a place down Anaheim Packing House.
Sounds really good.
It was so good. You guys should check it out sometime. All right. So yeah, Steel Magnolias. We did that at YPAC.
Make me boil, Nathan.
We did that at YPAC and it was really cool.
So you did this in the round, right?
Oh, that's right.
That's what you were talking about.
We talked about that.
You did the round. What made you come up with that idea? Or was that your idea to do that? Is that something that they asked for?
It was actually Ryan, the tech director from YPAC. He was like, dude, we should do a show in the round here. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And then Steel Magnolia came up on our season. He's like, dude, let's do Steel Magnolias in the round. And I was like, okay. He's like, wait, for real? I was just joking. It was just an idea. I said, let's do it. I thought it'd be a cool way to present the show kind of in like cinematic, where from every angle they're getting some type of show, which obviously that's in the round, but it was actually a lot of fun. And I think anyone that saw it got to see the show in a way that obviously I know there's other people that have done it. I looked everywhere for that. I found out that a high school, local high school, did it a long time ago. I heard did that, but it was really challenging and fun at the same time. It was challenging because when the people that were talking, I'll use the word second fiddle, the people that were kind of just the background in the moment, I wanted the audience in any part of the space to be able to look at them and get to feel what they should be feeling in that moment. So it was challenging because usually you're blocking, you're like, this actor, come down stage, stand stage left, and the other ones respond off of that, giving it to the audience. You know, that's pretty basic. But this way, no matter which way the actor or actresses were standing, they each had to have a moment. They couldn't just stand there and not give anything. They had to be engaged the whole time. So when the audience on stage or on the other side of the circle was staring at the other actress, they knew how to respond. So if you saw the show multiple times, which multiple people did, they got to experience it differently. Because if a character's reaction to someone's sadness is different, they responded differently. So it was really a fun challenge, but to make sure that all of the actresses had something purposefully given at any point in time. So it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work, but the ladies were stellar. They were so talented, and they did a really, really good job at that. And even adding their own selves to the characters helped. It makes it seem more natural. But we really tried to stage it in a way that the show never stopped. It just kept flowing as if it was real life. So it felt really like a practical situation.
Would you have done In the Round if you were doing it here?
Yeah, and that's part of it. YPACT asked for us to do it exclusively there. Mm-hmm. But because of the way we set up our theater, we could take the risers out, which for Joseph, we took out some rows, made like a catwalk. We talked about doing it here, but they asked for us to do it exclusively there, which in hindsight, for our sake alone, the bill side of things, electricity for the air conditioning, that just adds up so fast, especially in the dead of the summer. Mm. So it was kind of a cool thing just to offer it there as a partnership with YPACT. But also doing it here, we would have had to restage, like rebuild our stage, like move it center, put chairs around. We could have done it. We had plans to do it that way. So when they asked, it was a blessing in disguise that they wanted us to do it at YPACT exclusively, which worked out great, had a good turnout, went really, really well.
I was just thinking, in theater in the round is not something that I hear about being typically done a lot. I mean, yeah. It's like you hear it, you know what it is, but like it seems a rarity when a theater will actually do it. And I don't know, like part of it is like, you know, you want to go see a show because it's a title you want to see or it sounds interesting. But a whole other aspect is if something's being done in the round, it's like cool in itself, like no matter what the show, just to go see, because that's a challenge. That's a huge blocking challenge.
It wasn't hard. It was hard as far as that goes. Yeah. And then you have another aspect of it. Your scenery has to be limited because sight lines.
Yeah.
So we had a full on salon. We had like the sit down hair dryers. We had a sink. We had two salon chairs in the center of the stage, the platform. We had a couch, which then when we brought it there, we're like, oh, man, the back of a couch. So we ended up getting a coffee table, a little longer coffee table, putting pillow cushions on it, taping it to the coffee table. So you got rid of the back. It became an ottoman at that point, but an oversized ottoman. Even just the chair's height. So if someone's sitting behind a chair, you don't want them staring at the back of a chair the whole time. So you have to think about sight lines. And in fairness, that's one thing that we did have one issue with. Our hair dryer was pretty big, so we tried to put it in the corner of our stage so sight lines weren't an issue. But if you're on that end seat and someone's sitting across from it, I would watch them and go, oh, they have to tilt their head to the left during that scene or during that moment. So it's very challenging. It was actually one of the hardest challenges. Not hardest. Maybe it was one of the hardest challenges to make the show as engaging as I wanted to be in the round, because I didn't want to just be like, go up there and just perform. So knowing each of their tracks pretty well was a lot in saying, stand on this spot in this moment. So we'll just say we labeled it like 1, 2, 3, 4 kind of sections of the seating area. Mm-hmm. If you're facing one, number four has got to have some action. Then having another cast member facing that direction, why are they facing that way? Is there a window there? Is there a pretend portrait there? And then we had a food table that I purposely added to the show. So that gave them purpose to walk over and be in a different area eating snacks during the scene, so then they can give reactions to what's going on. So it was really challenging, like mentally, to do that. But the ladies were so good about that. And there was a whole thing. I call it booty time. If you're facing a certain direction for more than 10 seconds, turn away. They've been seeing your booty too long.
You normally have a different definition for that, right?
Oh, yeah. But yeah. We're not going to talk about it on this podcast.
Not even a little bit?
Not even a little bit, okay. Amanda. Oh, he's so gross. Anyway, so, but yeah, so it was a lot of fun, a lot of work. YPAC was great. We built the trussing up above. We put a square box around the center of the building. They haven't done this either there. And that was part of the reason they wanted to try it there, is because now they know that it's possible. And they could do comedy night in the round. They could do, like, dinner theater around. And so it was kind of a work in progress to figure out what to do. And we're supposed to be starting a dinner theater in February with them. So, yeah, a lot of cool things are kind of happening there. So it was a fun experience. It was a lot of work, but a lot of fun.
So do you know why they wanted it exclusively?
I think just, I don't. I imagine it was just because it's a drama. It's probably not a show you're going to sell 1,000 tickets to, probably.
I don't know. That title is...
It did really well.
A good title.
But I think they wanted it... I think they and we wanted to not have, you know, if we do a full 3 weekends here at, you know, 40, 50 people, depending how we staged it, it's just taking away from that. So I think it was just... It was better to do it there. It just... Yep. Financially, and I think getting to be in that space to figure out how to do it in the round there... I would have to reblock it. If I did it here, the round would be different in our space because the seating would be different.
Well, that was what my original reason for asking the question. Like, mm-hmm. If you did it, if you were to have done it here, would you also have done it in the round?
Yes.
Knowing that it's, you know, you'd have to change things up to do it here.
We would have done it in the round here just because it would have been a little less change than just having it straight squared play because... Then they have to play to every side of the stage. And I didn't want to do that. And then also there they had 400 seats. Here we would have had 80 seats or 60 seats in the round. So the space would have been different. Where they would have had to turn and look would have been different. So I really didn't want to put that on them to have a day to just kind of reblock everything. I think that would be fair. And honestly, I didn't want to do that. I basically would have had to block the show twice. And I didn't really look forward to doing that either.
So. Yeah, when I was... You know, when we were mentioning it being a title show that mm-hmm. just is a draw, there's a lot more people that love that show than people might realize.
Yeah,
we're thinking. I mean, that is a really beloved show. And I remember I was ushering at a theater a while back that was doing that show, and there was this guy and a girl that came up on a date. Looked like, and I, kind of was joking with the guy. I was like, "Huh, you got dragged here tonight, huh?" And he was like, "No, I love this show. What are you talking about?" Mm. And I was, just like, well, it really does reach a pretty broad audience.
Well, it does, and there was a lot of men that came in being dragged, their wife leading, and you could see that. But by the first scene, by the middle of the first scene, second scene, after they introduce the characters, we get into the meat of the story, they were laughing, like Tim Mahoney. Him and his wife came as a date night. I mean, I sat 3 rows in front of them, and I heard Tim laughing and the whole time. And at the end of the show, he had, little tears in his eyes. And he's like, dude, this was so good. He's like, honestly, dude, it was like a movie. He goes, I didn't want it to stop. And he goes, I know the story, but I didn't know the direction it was going. He's like, the way you staged it, the way the ladies put it, they're perfectly casted. So yeah.
For the record, I don't think he was laughing at the show. I think he was laughing because he knows he still has my Jekyll and Hyde CD from 10 years ago. And for some reason, just will not give it back.
He said he paid you for it. I asked him about
that. He did. No, he did not.
Wait, I saw him give you 20 bucks.
You did not.
Yeah, I did at your house.
You did not.
I promise.
No, you did not.
Mike is incorrect.
Nathan is incorrect. Said he did not give.
I'll call Tim right now.
You call him right now. Okay. Tell him he's on that. This is like these fake phone calls that you said you got.
Let's do it right now. I'm going to call Tim Mahoney. If he says yes, are you going to argue with him?
Yes.
Oh, then I'm not calling him.
Boy, I think we legally have to tell him he's on the air.
I'm going to tell him right away.
Okay.
He's probably at church, probably praying for your soul.
He's probably... Somebody has to. Yeah, Yes, this is dead time. Waiting
it's
for Tim
it's
to
ringing
answer.
In the microphone.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. At the tone, please record your message. When you finish recording,
this.
You may
I
hang
talk.
Up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Tim, this is Nathan and Mike. We're on our podcast right now. We're leaving you a voicemail.
And it's me. Amanda's here, too.
And it's me and Mike. And he's saying you did not pay him $20 for his Jekyll and Hyde DVD. And I said, I saw you pay him.
You did not
I
see
did
me
see it.
Pay.
I did. I promise. He handed you $20.
He did not.
Yeah, I promise. It was. I don't know where it was. Maybe at the bowl. But anyway, call back. And hopefully it's while we're doing this podcast. If not, we'll add it to another podcast because I want Mike to hear the truth. Because he forgot.
What do you mean you saw him pay me? You just said it was at my house. And
it,
now
I can't
like,
remember
what
it was.
It
I just saw him opening the wallet and hand you it. I don't remember where it was.
He opened a wall?
His wallet.
A wallet. Okay.
Oh, my God. Okay. That's a long message. All right, dude. Bye. Okay. Well, he'll call back maybe. He may not want to call back, actually. He's like, I'm not answering that. Anyway, theater round was fun. It was a lot of hard work. And it was an exciting project. So maybe I forgot how hard it was because it was just exciting. But
had,
the
you,
ladies,
had you done that before in the round? Like in
no. Okay. I have not. I've never.
So you were kind of learning about it as you went.
I was, and I sat in a bunch of the seats and kind of watched the show from every angle. Kaylin was the assistant director. She'd sit across from the stage and watch it from a different angle. And after scenes, I'd say, "Hey, what did you feel?" I told her to watch certain characters and tell me what they were expressing, emoting in those scenes to make sure that's what we wanted to happen in those scenes. But it was a lot of work. It was fun. I mean, the ladies truly are what made it successful, though. Their acting, the natural feel. It didn't feel like a production. It felt really just like I went to a salon and we hung out. It was really like that. And they did such a good job. And literally, guys and girls, when they leave, they were tearing up. The ushers were like, "This was so good." It was really good. I was really proud of the project. Not something I want to jump into right away, but I would not be opposed to doing it again. But not right away. It's a lot of work.
Did you do a plethora of research and go and hang out in many different salons?
I did. I did. And I have friends that own salons, and they brought a lot of hair products in. They gave me lessons on prom curl or, okay, I guess I didn't pay attention, but all kinds of rollers. And, yeah, I learned a lot about that stuff. And I went to a bunch of hair salons and passed out flyers, too.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. Went to the salon and said, "Hey," and I sent my daughters in because they're not going to say no to kids. And they were like, "Yeah, absolutely." They just said, "We're involved with the production." They didn't say we're in a production because I want them to lie. But they're like, "Yeah, put it in the window." So all over Redlands, we got to go to all the salons and beauty places and stuff like spas.
Well, you know what? The people that pass out flyers are involved in the production.
That's true. And they were very involved and very needed because we passed out 150 flyers at different stores and salons and stuff. So it was really good.
Mm-hmm. So. And so to take it to the point of, the podcast and helping, other people that may be listening. So you had never done theater in the round.
Nope.
And yet you didn't let that hold you back. You didn't say, "I've never tried this before, so I don't think I should do it." You said, "I've never tried this before and I'm going to give it the best shot that I can."
Yeah. It was very scary, and it was actually at a very busy time. I had Hello Dolly, I had the Centennial for Redlands Bowl. There was a lot going on, but I was excited about that. Also, I was excited about working with a small cast. I know you work with small cast quite a bit. And it was kind of nice to have that relationship, because sometimes when there's 40, 50 people, it's hard to focus in on everybody. I mean, I value and love everyone and appreciate them, but it's hard to spend that one-on-one time. So with the cast of six, with two swings, it was pretty awesome. I got to get them all flowers and just really celebrate them as performers. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think my favorite cast size would probably be about that 6 to 7 people.
Hmm.
I don't know. I love that size show.
I like that too. I think there's a lot to be said for both sizes, but I did like the break in a small cast. So.
It's funny because that's one of the things I look for. Like when I read through a script, I look at the character amount and like I probably will not do one if it's under four people. Like, oh. I don't know. Just for like, for me, I'm just like imagining like even four, like I'd 5, 6, 7 is, that's something I look for. I don't know. Mm. And I don't know, maybe it's just me personal preference, but, I've done a 2-person show before. I didn't direct it, but there was a group that was kind of touring around and asked if they could come in to play with your food. And so we did this two-person show, and it was okay, but with just two people, I think the audience may have tired of two characters on there. This, I mean, if it's
gotta just be really engaging,
it's got to be really, really something if it's just two people.
Weren't we supposed to do Waiting for Godot like 100 years ago? Weren't we supposed to do that?
I don't know. I'm still waiting.
Yeah, me too. For Godot.
Waiting for Godot. I'm waiting for Tim to pay me back for the DVD he lost. I'm waiting for those phone calls to actually happen.
Oh, I got calls. Okay. Anyway, yeah, theater round. Go for it. Even if it's something you haven't done, experiment. Try things out. Don't be afraid to challenge yourself and push your skill level, because I was intimidated about it. I was like, should I get someone that does dramas all the time? Should I bring Mike in here? Should I have someone that does, you know, straight plays? And I was like, no, I'm going to do it. So I did it, and it was a lot of fun, and it worked out really well. Obviously, I learned a lot in that process. Some of the things I learned about trying to engage the audience with people that are not having the dialogue. That was a little bit more work than I was anticipating.
Well, then I'll have to say, like, I'm glad you didn't bring anybody else in. I'm glad you didn't bring me in or anybody, because at the end of that, you've now got new tricks in your bag.
And actually something true.
And it's not just limited to if you want to do theater in the round again. Like that type of, once you kick that type of blocking into your mind, you can use that in any show.
Yeah, and it's actually helped me with work. I'm working on Man of La Mancha now. It's actually helped with that too, because I've always been like, you're the audience. I tell other cast members when they're not the dialogue or the focal point of the scene, you're the audience's permission on what to feel. Are they supposed to be mad, sad, happy, confused, whatever emotions they're supposed to feel? That's the other people's job on stage to do, as well as the people giving the dialogue and the emotion as well. So,
especially in that show. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a roller coaster of a show. And it is. Is that in the genre of a comedy?
I think it's dramatic.
Like, because what's the there's a slogan for it, for that show. It's called like the funniest show that will make you cry or something like that.
I don't know that. I don't know, but I do know there's comedy, but it's definitely heavy. It's about relationships, impact you have on people. It's a very important show for our time and where we're at in this world right now, actually. It's just about being supportive, encouraging each other, not agreeing necessarily, but just having opinions, but being okay with different opinions, being supportive of each other. You don't know the impact you have on somebody. It could just be you're wonderful, and that could change someone's whole life and whole perspective.
And it's funny because you said it speaks right now, and it's spoken throughout the years.
Since the early 80s.
That's probably one of those shows that just will stand the test of time, because it's just, you know, the group of women sitting, just hanging out in the salon, talking. I mean, that's, you know, what people do, and their experiences that they're having. It's what everybody, you know, it's the stuff that we all deal with.
And speaking of which, a group of women, and there was some, I'll say, originally some naysayers about a guy directing the show because it's a all-woman cast, but it was written by a man.
Did you tell them that you had a very feminine side?
I think they knew that. I cried every time we were on. I cried all the time. So, no, but there was some, I guess, hesitation on that. But a guy wrote it for a sister that passed away. So it was kind of nice to take that approach. And I got a lot of good feedback on that, too, just saying, wow, Nathan, you really captured the feminine side of it. But also, I think having a guy's perspective on it and then letting the ladies loose to bring their feminine side, I think it was a good match. I think it really panned out really well. I'm a little biased. But.
How did that work? I mean, you got some concern from the actors?
Not the actors. Well, initially, I got asked by a lot of people, oh, you're directing it? Oh, you're directing it? Oh, I was like, yes, I am. Even on social media, oh, you're directing it? Yes, I am. And that was part of my hesitation to it, is that. And then also being a drama, being in the round. I've done dramas before, but never in the round. I've never directed in the round before. But I was like, all those things made me even want to persevere even more and go, oh, I'm going to do it. Like, the worst I do is it sucks and I learn from it and don't ever do it again, or what I do better next time. So if I always went with the naysayers, I would never try anything. I wouldn't have a theater right now with Steve. Like, that wouldn't have happened. What? Don't do that. You're crazy. And they're right. It is crazy and expensive, but it's worth it.
And then, you know, again, going back to just kind of what we were talking about with, you know, you never tried theater in the round, try theater in the round. And just takeaways for anybody listening, whatever a challenge may be. I think it a lot of people would shy away from things. Mm-hmm. And maybe, I don't know, there's listeners right now that may have an opportunity. And that's what it could be. It could be like a really good opportunity, and yet they don't know how to do it. They've never tried to do it. And so rather than, you know, braving it and learning how to do it, they'll let that opportunity go to somebody else.
Well, we tell you guys on our podcast all the time, chase your dreams, go for it. Because even if our Steel Magnolias failed, it wasn't failure. It was a learning process and what to do better and how to grow. And especially when you're putting yourself out there being vulnerable, just go for it. Just do it. And if it doesn't work out, oh, well, you learn from it. You know not to do it again or how to do it better. Like it really doesn't matter. Yes, it costs money. Yes, there's a lot of risk in it. But without risk, there's no reward.
But there's also a lot of art in it too. I mean, you know, what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's, I just think it sounds really cool. I mean, you're doing it right there, Steel Magnolias, in the round. That's not something that you see. I mean, especially if you're a fan of that show, come out and see it in a way that it's never been done before. And I think that was a really cool choice that they asked for, like, let's do Steel Magnolias in the round, because, you know, lots of places do Steel Magnolias. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of anyone doing it in the round.
I've searched everywhere. I really was trying to find like bootlegs, clips to get some idea. I'm like, wait, how do I do that? So in the center of the stage where the two chairs where they're getting a haircut, well, every couple seconds I'd be like, have her go grab the spray bottle. She'd turn the chair so another part of the audience gets it. Then the actresses that are not in the chairs, they'd be on a couch and they'd walk over to the phone, make a phone call, or go get a magazine, just trying to move the whole time so it's not stagnant. It was a lot of fun. It was actually it was like Tetris on stage. It was a lot of fun. And I love it because when I block, I kind of play all the characters. I don't put the dresses on and play it that way. But I get to walk through each
of
the
characters. You whack job. What do you mean you played characters?
No, but I don't play a woman on a mic and not very well. But anyways, I walk on stage and get to play all those roles a little bit. And then the ladies come and they bring their roles to it. Anyway, I think that's our time, dude. I really appreciate it. That's our time.
All right.
Well, yeah. Well, chase your dreams. Don't be afraid.
Congratulations on your show, Nathan.
Thanks, buddy.
And thanks, everyone, for listening.
We'll see you next time on The Upstaging Gentleman.
Peace out.
Later.